Well, good morning. Good to be with you. If you want to turn maybe to that passage in Proverbs 26, we're going to spend a little bit longer in that passage. So Proverbs 26, verse 13. As Andy says, we are going to dot around a little bit, but we'll spend particularly a bit of time in that chapter. It's been good to be with you over the last few weeks, looking at these really nice, easy subjects of envy and anger. And now we're going to finish with laziness. You'll be really glad to know I'm not here again next week. You'll be looking at, hopefully, some Easter themes, some truths, I'm sure, about Jesus and his resurrection. But it's been good to look at things that are difficult to speak about. It's so good that God speaks to us about things we'd rather not have him speak to us about. But he does so anyway. So laziness. There were a group of people who were asked, a little bit of research was being done, and they were asked the question, what's the worst thing you've ever done out of laziness? Let me give you a few of the answers that came out to that question. There was one guy who said, well, I ordered underwear from Amazon with overnight delivery because I didn't want to do the laundry. That was one guy. One person said the TV volume was low, and the TV remote was across the room, so I downloaded an app on my phone and I turned up the volume on the TV via the app. Yeah, I can see some horror on some faces at that prospect. Somebody else once confessed that they ordered a pizza from Domino's for the napkins because they had no kitchen roll left in the house. That was their strategy. Or there was one guy who was renting a house and he had a house inspection from the rental agent. But because he hadn't got around to doing any of the washing up, he hid all the dirty plates and dishes in the oven. That was me. Yeah. Laziness. It's true of many of us, I'm sure. That's what we're thinking about from Proverbs this morning. Proverbs has a lot to say about the subject of laziness. And the lazy man or the lazy woman is labelled in the book of Proverbs the sluggard. That's the terminology used, sluggard. And I don't know if it's because the word sounds a bit like slug or what it is, but the word sluggard even kind of brings a bit of a smile to your face as you hear it. And one of the things that's true, I think, for the sluggard as we work our way through these verses is Proverbs doesn't bash the sluggard over the head. It doesn't shout like a sergeant major at the sluggard, but it really does poke fun at the sluggard. In order to get the lazy man out of bed and off the sofa and onto his feet, then Proverbs is provocative. It sort of pokes fun. Proverbs, I think, as I've been thinking about this week, it's a bit like the Bible's version of Couch to 5K as you work your way through Proverbs, if you're familiar with that terminology. So what's the problem with the sluggard? That's what we're going to begin with. What's the motivation for being a sluggard? And how do we move from laziness to diligence, laziness to hard work? How does Proverbs help us do that? So that's what we're going to look at and think about today. Thank you. So first up then, the proverb, the problem of being a sluggard. Here's the key problem. The key problem is that laziness is sin. Now, it's not just a tendency we might have. It's not just a weakness we might have. Laziness is sin. And although Proverbs might laugh at the sluggard, it is deadly serious about the consequences of laziness. It gives us three problems of being a sluggard. The first one is this: laziness irritates others. Proverbs 10:26, it's up there on the screen, says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. I don't know about you, but I've never poured myself a nice glass of vinegar to have with my evening meal. The thought of that isn't very appealing, is it? Maybe you've had bad wine that tasted much like vinegar, but you don't want a whole glass of it, do you? Vinegar is for sprinkling on your chips, but it's not for drinking down whole. It's irritating. The thought of that is irritating. It would leave a sour taste in the mouth. The other image here in the proverb is smoke in the eyes. I suspect all of us have known that at some point or other. We like to burn stuff in the Hawkins household. That's one of the things we enjoy doing, whether it's cardboard or wood or furniture, whatever it is. We stick it in the incinerator and set fire to it. That's a fun summer's evening to do at the Hawkins household. But when it's smoky, when the wind changes direction and you get a face full of smoke, that's not so fun. It's irritating, it's unpleasant, it's a pain. And that's what the sluggard is described as here. They are irritating. The verse, I think, assumes the sluggard has been sent on an errand, on a task, and they're late, or they've fallen asleep on the way, or they've got distracted, but they haven't delivered on what they were asked to do. They haven't done what was asked of them. And if we're relying on somebody who doesn't come through for us because of laziness, they don't put the washing out when they said they would do that, or they don't do the washing up, or they don't post that letter, it's unreliable, it's irritating. So laziness impacts, our laziness impacts other people. Not often in a way that is completely disastrous, but in a way that is irritating. Ever been packing away the chairs somewhere? I don't know, maybe on a Sunday morning when church finishes. Ever had that experience and you spot somebody just idling around? They're on the team to help out, but they're just idling around, not helping when they could be. That can often feel irritating, can't it? For some of us, that makes us all the more busy, doesn't it? We work all the more hard so that other people can see that. But we're not talking about anger. We dealt with anger last week. This is irritating others by our own laziness. Mums get irritated when kids are lazy and they don't tidy their rooms. Teachers get irritated when pupils are lazy and don't make any effort. Laziness is irritating to people. Selfish. It's not loving. So it's irritating. Secondly, second problem is that laziness is destructive. This proverb said that one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Slack. There's a job to be done, and the job is either started late or it's only half done. But the slacker, notice in this verse, is tied together with the destroyer. It's pretty easy, I think, for us to see if we're talking about somebody who destroys, that that's obviously damaging. But this proverb tells us that laziness is like that. It might destroy over the long term. It might not be quite so obvious. It might be passive neglect rather than aggressive harm, but it's destructive. Perhaps some of us this morning need to recognise that passivity, when action is needed, is as bad as destructive action. Passivity, when action is needed, is as bad as destructive action. The slack man is a kindred spirit, is a brother to the one who destroys. The Anglican Book of Common Prayer talks in this way in one of its confessions: we've offended against your holy laws, we've left undone those things which we ought to have done. That's the first thing that's confessed, the things we should have done, but we didn't do, the things we neglected are the very first things confessed. So to neglect the good we could do is as bad as doing the wrong that we shouldn't do. I expect some of us in this room who tend to be passive, who tend to be inactive, who tend to be lazy, would rarely accept that sometimes our passivity, when action is needed, is destructive. But the Bible says here that laziness is a destructive thing. The third problem of being a sluggard is laziness is a poor use of our opportunities. So this proverb in chapter 24, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of somebody who had no sense. Notice there, that's how the sluggard is described, somebody who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere, the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. And they have no sense, they're a fool, because of how they treat what they've been given. Notice it's the field of the sluggard that's neglected in this proverb. And for the Israelites who first received the book of Proverbs, the field, the land that they had, was really significant for them. That was God's gift to them. It was absolutely crucial for them to be able to live, to be able to survive, to be able to get on. A really key blessing God had given. And yet here, the verse says it's totally neglected. The field is neglected. There are thorns everywhere. There are weeds all over the place. The wall is smashed up. And even the thorns there, do you remember how the thorns are symbols of the curse? Back in Genesis 3, it seems as if the lazy man or woman is just giving in to this principle of decay in the world and just saying, well, that's just what it's like. It's not worth bothering. It's not worth fighting against. It's not worth facing the challenge of that. The lack of a wall, the lack of a stone wall means that safety is neglected. The lazy man isn't protecting his family in this scenario. The text speaks about a vineyard. A vineyard is a great gift for them. That's a real symbol of fruitfulness and blessing. One writer has said to have a vineyard is really the opportunity of a lifetime. That's what they have. And yet here in these verses, all of those blessings are being squandered. And Proverbs' assessment is, well, somebody who has all of those gifts and opportunities to squander them, this is a man of no sense. So if we're lazy, we're wasting opportunities given by God to us. We might complete the next level on our Xbox game. We might finish all 8 series of our box set on Netflix. We might have hours and hours of our leisure time, which is comfortable and easy, but what are the good things, the good opportunities that we neglect? When we're lazy, we want to say, well, look, every minute that my employer doesn't take, that belongs to me. But God says, no, actually, it belongs to me. Every minute is mine. God has called us to wisely use the gift of time that we have. And what that actually means is we can be busy and lazy at the same time. Those two things can come together. The opposite to laziness is not busyness. Sometimes we can be busy because we're lazy. We fill up our time and activity, but lazy because it's not the best use of time. The vineyard is wasted. We might be distracted and flitting. We might be busy, but it's aimless. Another proverb says, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. It's a disgrace to not make the most of the opportunities that we have, to fail to seize the day and to seize those opportunities. We're foolish if we're not making the most of what God has given to us. So laziness is not just laughable, actually it's lamentable as well. It's damaging. We've begun to see a few proverbs that help us with that. It's irritating to others, it's unloving to others, it is destructive, damaging to us. And it's a bad use of opportunities that God has given to us. So if it causes all those difficult effects, why are we so lazy? Why is that such a struggle for us? Well, we need to think about the motivations of the sluggard. And it's in Proverbs 26 that we get this little cluster of 4 different proverbs which help us with some of the motivations, some of the reasons that drive and underlie the laziness that we wrestle with. Let's work our way through these verses. The first one, verse 13, the sluggard makes excuses out of fear. Have a look at verse 13. It says, a sluggard says, let me just put the verse back up. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the street. I think verse 13 seems reasonable, doesn't it? Somebody has said to the sluggard, look, I want you to come out today with me. And the sluggard says, look, hold on, there's a lion outside. Haven't you read the news? Well, okay, that's fair enough, isn't it? Like, stay indoors. That's pretty wise advice, I think, if you hear later that in Rylands a lion is loose. You'd probably be advised to stay indoors, wouldn't you, and keep your kids in. Mr. Sluggard, you're right. You don't want to be a lion's lunch today, just stay in. Good move. This is wise, isn't it? Except. Whilst there were lions in Palestine at this time, you wouldn't meet a lion strolling around every corner. They weren't like pigeons in Palestine. Lions were a rare event. Commentators say it was extremely unlikely they would come across a lion. In other words, this isn't genuine. This isn't a genuine fear. This is an excuse. Did you notice how the lion is called not just a lion, it's a fierce lion? I don't know much about lions. I don't know if you get an unfierce lion. I imagine every lion is fierce. But you see, he's putting out the excuse, it's a fierce lion, and notice it's roaming, like it's out to get me. I know I'm on its list of next meal. See, all of this is an incredibly creative excuse, but that's what it is, it's an excuse. And if we're lazy, we are wonderfully inventive when it comes to finding reasons not to do something. We're really creative when it comes to excuses. Somebody's written a book called Crazy Lazy. And in that book, the writer gives the example of a boy who comes to his mum in the holidays. And the boy says, as I expect many boys do, Mum, I've got nothing to do. I'm bored. Mums, I expect you've been there once or twice with your kids. And his mum says to the boy, well, why don't you go and cut the grass for me? And suddenly the boy becomes very creative about thinking about all the things that he could do instead of cutting the grass. You see, the reason the sluggard is not going out is just not true. And when we're lazy, we make lots of excuses. Perhaps you recognise that in yourself. You're the master of making excuses. When you're challenged to take something on in a work environment or maybe even here at church, and you've just got your excuses all lined up and all ready. But under that is is laziness. But the proverb digs a little deeper, I think, because even kind of under those excuses, I think this proverb gives us a hint of the underlying reason for those kind of excuses that we make. And actually that's fear. Fear. So the excuse about the lion is about fear. And often when we're lazy, we don't want to face up to things. We let fear paralyze us. Some of us are lazy because actually we're fearful of failing. We don't want to put ourselves out for something because we're afraid of failing at it. We're fearful maybe being out of our depth. We're fearful of commitment maybe, so we don't put ourselves to something. I'm like that with the things that I don't want to face. I expect you can recognise that too. If I've got an email that's really hard to respond to or a situation I don't really know what to do with, those things don't tend to get done because I'm fearful, I'm uncertain about them. I might kind of say in my head, well, I've got lots on, I can't get to that now, I've got to deal with other sort of things, but really, I don't want to face the situation head on. I'm fearful. And that comes out in laziness. If you're like me, we take the easy option, we make our excuses. So the sluggard makes excuses out of fear. Secondly, the sluggard won't move out of comfort. Verse 14, if you've still got that text open, says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed, which is a pretty graphic picture, isn't it? The door on its hinges is, well, that's locked to the hinge, isn't it? The door can't move off of a hinge, and it's like the sluggard on its bed. I expect that was some of us as we woke up this morning when we remember the hour had gone on and thought, this is the last morning, I want to be up an hour earlier. The sluggard might well puff up his pillow from time to time and roll over and get just a bit more comfortable, but that's about your lot, really. The sluggard is glued to his bed. He's not getting up, he's not getting going. He's wedded to his duvet, wedded to comfort. And sometimes that's our laziness, isn't it, that we are addicted to comfort. We're so focused on our comfort that that's anything that puts that at stake, anything that threatens that, anything that disturbs our comfort is put off. We're not prepared to sacrifice anything. We're not prepared to put ourselves out. Some of us expect everybody else to run around us and to kind of focus life on us and care for us. That can happen in a family. One person who expects everybody else to gravitate around them, or that can happen in a workplace, or that can happen in a church situation. There's always a core of people who work hard and a set of people who stand on the sidelines and admire the work but never really get stuck in. Salthouse Lane, there's a set of people who are always kind of staying distant because, and they've got sometimes very spiritual excuses about why they might get involved, but the reality is there's a level of not being prepared to sacrifice for others. So I wonder if that's you this morning. Thirdly, verse 15, the sluggard craves satisfaction and yet never gets it. Verse 15 says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. So the sluggard might struggle to get off his bed and start things, but the sluggard, kind of when the sluggard finally makes the effort of getting started, often the trouble is having the determination to finish things. Now, verse 15, the sluggard here in this verse has made the colossal effort of burying his hand in the dish. He's got that far, he's moved that far, but he just can't bring himself to bring it back now to his mouth. He just can't manage that. Another proverb says, the sluggard's appetite is never filled. Never filled. Which is really ironic, I think, if we allow ourselves just to think about this. Because laziness is all about giving myself what I think I need. Laziness is all about protecting myself, about minimal effort and maximal comfort. Minimal effort, maximal comfort. And proverb says how unsatisfying that actually is. How unsatisfying. A real strong irony. Laziness aims at being maximal in satisfaction, and yet it never actually delivers. I wonder if you can remember having kind of one of those weekends or evenings where you've got nothing on and you're just determined to kind of relax all weekend and do minimal work and just sort of slob around for the whole weekend. Those of you with young families are never in that position now, I know, but think back to those days before that was the case. Did you ever have that kind of weekend, you know, your sort of duvet weekend, where basically you would just do exactly what you wanted and you put no effort in? And the prospect of that seems really appealing. And yet you get to the end of a weekend like that and you feel, not great, I feel really rested, but much more likely, well, that was such a waste of time, wasn't it? I kind of didn't achieve anything through that time. A sort of dose of self-loathing kicks in. Don't get me wrong at all, rest is a really good thing. Some of us really need to learn what it is to rest, absolutely. But rest is not kind of medicating ourselves. Rest is not just kind of inactivity and self-indulgence. Rest is a change. Rest is not doing our usual work, but it doesn't mean necessarily complete inactivity. Laziness says, I'll satisfy myself. And yet, Proverbs says, actually, as with all sin, it just leaves us empty and unsatisfied. Which leads us on to this, and I think we've seen hints of this already, that the sluggard thinks he's being wise. So verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Which is one of the real tragedies of us when we're consumed by laziness, is we convince ourselves that this is really wise to do the absolute minimum we need to. It's really wise to not bother with dealing with all those weeds in the garden. It's really wise to not bother in giving any of that effort to a project. It's really wise not to revise any more than absolutely the bare minimum. It's really wise not to change the empty toilet roll because somebody else in the house will do it eventually, if that's the case. Laziness seems like wisdom to the lazy person, but it doesn't look that way to other people. Ellie doesn't come in and when she's challenging me about something that I should have done but I haven't done, to say, look, I know it was really wise for you to make that decision not to clean the bathroom, but maybe you could do that as you promised to do. She never says it's wise, even if I think it might be. You see, ultimately, the lazy person is proud. They're wiser than the seven people who answer discreetly. If we're lazy, we sort of smugly think, well, look, I'm kind of beating the system here. I'm avoiding responsibility. We look down on all those other fools who are running around madly, doing stuff and working hard. But laziness destroys ourselves and it destroys others. It's just a slow-burning decay of the soul if we give ourselves into laziness. Well, let's move on lastly to thinking about how we move from laziness to diligence. And I want to talk firstly about the why. And then about the how. If we've seen the kind of damage that laziness might do, how do we move this way? Well, I think we've already seen some of the kind of reasons, if you like, the negative reasons, that it's destructive and it's unsatisfying and it's unwise. But why is that the case? Why is it destructive? Why is it unsatisfying? Why is it unwise? And it is all those things because God has set the world up for us to be productive and to be purposeful. That's the way God has set the world up to be, and that's the way he set our lives up to be full of purpose and to be productive and for us to work. Right back in the first book of the Bible, back in Genesis, God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, go and lie on your sun loungers all day long and get a nice suntan and do what you like. No, he didn't say that. He said, rule over, subdue, fill, loads of verbs he gave them, loads of things to do. They were placed in the garden to work it and take care of it. Their task was to exploit the garden in a good way, to bring out all the potential of the created world that was there. Genesis 2 even speaks about all the precious minerals that were in the surrounding locations outside of the garden. The plan was always that they wouldn't just sort of stay within the garden, but that they would go out and develop things and mine and find and discover. They were placed in a world to develop and to cultivate. Work was a good thing made by God. And even now, in a world that has been messed up, in a fallen world, we're not just rescued by God. We're not just brought to him in new relationship with him to just sit back in our nice Christian rocking chairs and relax and just enjoy being Christians. No, we're called to good works that God has prepared for us in advance for to do. We're called to those good works. We're given the freedom now to live life as God intended. We've got purpose. God designed opportunities. God given service to do. But how do we do that? How do we move from laziness to diligence? Because that's the difficult thing. If you could turn back to Proverbs 6, and we're going to focus just in on Proverbs 6. And again, a little cluster of verses there. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11. So how do we move from laziness to diligence? And I think these verses give us a few steps to take. First step comes in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. The first step, if we're lazy, if we're going to seek to move to diligence, is the need to humble ourselves. Verse 6, the sluggard is sent to learn from the ant. I don't know about you, I don't think anybody wants to learn from ants, do they? That's not the great guy. Oh, Jeff does. I have a chat with Jeff later. But I guess for most of us in the room, learning from the ant feels pretty humbling. If you're going to learn from the ant, you've got to get down on the ground, haven't you, to see what they're doing and what they're about. If we want to change, the first thing to do is to accept the pride that makes us lazy and be willing to learn and change. And perhaps some of us just need to start there, to be humble and to be willing to change. The second is to get thinking. The first command, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. The first encouragement is to think. Some of us who are lazy this morning, even as we've been hearing what we've been saying, have already been thinking in your heads, I probably ought to do something about this sermon. This is a subject that does apply to me. I probably ought to be doing something about this sermon. But I think what I'll do is I'll think about it later this week. I think I'll give it some time later in the week. That'll be good. But I just don't want to think about it now. We've got to overcome the laziness that we'll not even think. And God starts really slow here, doesn't he, with consider. That lazy person, you're not being asked to go and climb a mountain or to run a marathon. You're not being asked to do any of those things. It's just think. You can begin to progress even by being on the sofa. You can think even in your chair. So we humble ourselves and we get thinking. Then the third one is about having some inner motivation. Verse 7, the ant has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer. The ant, notice, has got nobody driving it on. The ant has got nobody behind telling it what to do. The ant doesn't have a regular appraisal. The ant's not on any bonus scheme. There's none of that happening. And yet the ant is productive. And some of us today are really productive if somebody is kind of shouting in our ear or if somebody's setting the expectations. But as soon as the pressure is off, then nothing's happening. And in many ways, our move to diligence is by not relying on other people to kick us into action, but being purposeful ourselves and learning how to do that. And being self-motivated, because actually we recognise we're first accountable to God. He's the one we're first accountable to. Not just to other people's expectations, but first accountable to him. So some inner motivation. Then fourthly, the need to start to plan. Verse 8, the wise ant, verse 8, stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So what the ant is doing is looking ahead to winter, to non-harvest time, and the ant is making sure the food is there. And when we're lazy, we tend not to think future. We procrastinate and we put off, but we tend not to think future. We tend to be a slave for the moment. We tend to just think about the comfort of the warm bed in the moment. And to begin to move towards diligence, we need to think about how we plan ahead. And that's a good thing. It's a godly thing to learn to live with purpose, not just to live reactively to what is going on around us, to live with a level of intentionality, if you like. Fifth, to hear the challenge. Verse 9 is a direct challenge. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? When are you going to change? If we're lazy this morning, let me just say to you, it's not that we can't change. It's not that we can't change. If we've come to know Christ and if we're indwelt by his Spirit, then all of us can change and make progress. The reality is, it's not I can't change. It's just we don't want to take the responsibility of that. If we're saying we can't change, and if we know Christ this morning, we're denying the power of God's Spirit within us. We need to move towards our unwillingness. And perhaps we need to hear the challenge that might come to us directly from God's word. Perhaps we need to listen to the challenge of somebody who knows us really well. Perhaps we need to listen to the person in the world who at times it's hardest to listen to, the person who knows us really well. Perhaps you might dare to ask somebody when you get back today, do you think laziness is an issue for me? I don't really want to ask that question later at all of my wife. She's not here, so she doesn't know I've put that challenge out to you. But I don't want to ask that question of her. I'm fairly afraid what the answer might be. But let me dare you with that challenge today, maybe to see if there's somebody who needs to ask you, how long are you going to lie there? And sixth, the final thing, from verse 10 and 11, as we move from laziness to diligence, is to realise the long-term impact of this. The long-term impact, that laziness is killing us slowly. So verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. There's a massive danger that it will only dawn on us really when it's been all too late, when we'll have been robbed, we'll have robbed ourselves, when time will have gone, when opportunities will have been stolen away. That's really the sort of picture verse 11 leaves us with things stolen away. And it all comes after just a little. Verse 10, it's all little. Just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands to rest, and that's what results from this. John Piper, the Christian leader, wrote the book Don't Waste Your Life. I've never read the book, but the title sounds scary enough. Don't waste your life. And that is the call. I think it is the call from Proverbs to not waste our life. It's too valuable to throw it away just indulging, if you like, lazy fantasies. But one thing I want to say is when we talk about not wasting life, sometimes we hear people talking that way, and that means achieving something notable and significant and massive and leaving some kind of impressive legacy and being known and all those kind of things. Actually, God's view of what is purposeful and God's view of what is significant is very different. And it could be something very unseen. Our diligent service might well be to care for a sick parent for years as they gradually deteriorate with dementia. That might be what God has called us to or calling us to in the future. Our diligent service might be to raise our children, sacrifice the career we could have had and the money we could have earned. Our diligent service might be to bear some challenge, some struggle, silently or quietly, and for very few people to know about that. Our diligent service might be to cut the grass for a neighbour, and for no one else but them and us and God to ever know that. Our diligent service doesn't need to be headline, but do something. Do something. Give our life to a good purpose. God has called us and set us apart to good works. And so therefore we're called to be servants and not sluggards, because that's who God has made us and called us to be. To not waste our life with the irrelevant and the mediocre when he's given us work to do. Whether that's to speak for Christ's sake or to love as Christ loved, the gospel has called us not to be procrastinators but to be productive and to be proclaimers. We've got a great commission. Christ has given us that, to go and make disciples, to go and be disciples, to obey him, to spread his glory, to be part of his mission. Whatever that looks like for you, whether that's in family, whether that's with work, whether that's with the friends that you support. Guys, God has called us to that. And so whatever part he's calling you to play, let's not waste the precious gift of our lives and the time and the opportunities and the gifts that he's given to us. Why don't I pray for us, and then we'll sing together and get a chance to respond more to God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a God who has given us generous opportunities. Father, we think about all the ways in which you have blessed us. Father, talents and time and treasure that you've given to us to use for your sake and for your honour and to the blessing of others. And Father, we recognise that our laziness, our desire for comfort, our fear at times has hindered us from going toward other people and serving them in the way we are called to. Father, we pray that you'll help us to see and cut through the excuses that we make. Help us to see the places where laziness manifests itself in our lives. Father, help us to see all the places where we've caused damage and difficulty. But thank you that there is one who gave himself for us. One who completed the Father's work on our behalf and went to give himself for us. One who has served us. And Father, thank you for bringing us into this freedom of knowing that it is not our good works that has brought us to know you, but you have liberated us and freed us for the good works prepared in advance for us to do. Help us in this week ahead, particularly, to see what those are and to serve you in them. And Father, continue with us now as we reflect together and bring our hearts to you as we do that in Jesus' name. Amen.